From Eshel, this is On Alliance. I'm Sarah Kavikov, and today we're speaking with my sister, Miriam Kavikov, who's the Executive Director of Eshel.
Hi, everybody.
At Eshel, we're exploring alliance of LGBTQ people in the Jewish world. What does it mean to be an ally in the Jewish context, and especially in the Orthodox Jewish world?
These are great questions, Sarah.
What does effective alliance look like and sound like? How does alliance change the people involved? We'll hear stories of allies who've opened up windows of acceptance, understanding, possibility, and celebration. Now, Miriam, obviously, I do know a lot about your story.
Definitely.
But I don't know a lot about how allies have played a role in your life.
Well, you're about to find out.
Well, I can't wait to hear about how allies have made a difference for you.
When I was in my 20s and I hadn't yet come out to anybody, I was living with this secret for many, many years, and I just didn't know where I could turn to and who I could talk to. And I was a student at Stern College, which is where I had actually met my first girlfriend, and I was living a secret right there in the dormitory. And after 2 years of being there, it was kind of unbearable, and I had to leave. And I had two of my siblings were living on the West Coast in Northern California, and I went to visit them one summer, and it just felt like very freeing to be away from the world that I had been living in, which was a very dark, closeted, secretive place. And so basically, I transferred all my credits and I moved out west, and I found a group of people who had helped me come out to myself. And I hadn't told any of my family members. And that was for me the most terrifying leap that I had to take. So one summer, I went back east to see my parents, and I wanted to come out to them, but I was, again, like completely terrified. And I decided that I should try first coming out to a relative and another relative who was going to be more sympathetic, who I felt wasn't going to do anything mean to me or hurt me in any way, and just to sort of see like what that would be like and hopefully get an ally out of that in that moment to help me come out to my parents. So I flew back east, and you, Sarah, my sister, had also gone back east that summer, I think. And before I told our parents, I remember, I don't know exactly where we were or what we were doing, but I just remember like sitting down and telling you. And it was the first time that I had really told anyone, you know, outside of this small circle of friends of mine in California. And I just remember that you were like, maybe you were a little surprised, but you were able to really hear it. And you had just had an experience in your life, well, maybe you can talk about that experience, which enabled you to sort of open up your mind and make this, think that this might be a possibility and an okay way to be and to live. And you were so very positive and embracing. And I kind of was like, oh my God, that wasn't so bad at all. In fact, maybe that was even really wonderful. And it was in that moment that I first felt that I had an ally, because I knew that you were like my safety net. Like I was about to go free falling into a dark chasm. That's how it felt coming out to our family. Like I didn't know where I would end up. I didn't know what would be my future. I didn't know if I'd be rejected or kicked out or ostracized. And, you know, falling into your arms and just being like, this is who I am, you held up the bottom of that dark chasm and you held me. And so for me, that was an incredible moment of like feeling supported. And then when I finally did tell mom and dad, I think that I knew you had my back, and that was really key. So that was the moment where I felt really supported and like you were with me on this journey. And somehow, if they were going to reject me, they were going to reject you. And that's sort of how it felt in that moment. The other thing that I experienced was that I didn't really have language for standing up for myself around this. And I remember there were a few times when mom and dad kind of challenged me I mean, definitely there were many times when they challenged me, but when you were there and they were challenging me, I remember having experience of you being able to answer their questions when I couldn't. I didn't have any words. I didn't have any defense. All I could say was like, I'm sorry, this is just how I feel and this is who I am. And I don't know what else to tell you, you know, if you think it's not normal, I don't have a really real response to that. You know, if you think that I'm going to be miserable and lonely, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what my future will hold. But there were some moments where you were able to step in and say and give them the answers that they were looking for when I was completely speechless.
I was on your team and I was backing you.
Yeah, it was a really small team. You know, it was you and some friends that I had back in the West Coast that I knew would, you know, were there for me if I needed to talk to somebody. But within our family, I didn't have anybody and it was just you. And I didn't think our older siblings were going to be understanding or sympathetic or supportive. So it was powerful to have a family member be on my side.
There are some later times when I'm wondering if you could speak about another, in a different phase of our lives, where later on, where mommy came out as an ally to you.
Well, okay, so you had also asked about another ally.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to back up and say before she could come out as an ally to me, I want to just remember that she had one of her best friends, Tova, who I think that was the first person that she told about me to. So that, and I think what Tova said was something like she was unfazed and she told her about a relative of her own that was gay. And so I think in that moment, our mother felt like she wasn't alone, because here was one of her best friends who was saying, oh yeah, and my cousin or my uncle or whoever it was is gay.
Right.
And it wasn't so strange anymore. So she was an ally to mom, and that way our mother felt supported and was able to start rebuilding her understanding of the world after it had crashed in, because I think her world kind of fell apart for around me. Like, you know, she had raised 6 children and most of them were on their way into successful adulthood and independence. And here I was, you know, coming out to her and she was like, oh no, another problem I have to deal with raising my children. And I don't think she had any clue that I was going to be okay.
Right.
And I think telling a friend and then the friend making it okay for her to have this coming out was really, you know, groundbreaking for mom. And then it took, I want to say, 10 years before our parents actually could even really wrap their brain around my future and me being gay and having a real life that they could actually understand. This whole thing was so foreign to them. And finally, I'd met the person that I wanted to marry, and they met her and they actually really fell in love with her. And I think that that was tremendously helpful to this process. And they respected her and, you know, they could finally see like, oh, okay, Miriam is going to have a partner that she can live her life with. And it was around the formation of our wedding, of our marriage ceremony, that I think they turned a corner, because a bunch of our siblings were not going to come. And I think that our parents then became outraged and they saw the injustice of me being treated the way they were treating me, in that I had been to all of the, you know, celebrations of them and their children, and they had many of them. And, you know, and I was really happily part of those celebrations. And they couldn't show up for me, for my big celebration after my bat mitzvah, basically. And also like to help me transition into the next phase of my life with the person that I wanted to be with. So I think mom and dad at that moment, a light bulb went off for them and they were like, wait a minute, this is discrimination. This is exactly what we don't want to have happen to our daughter. And this is what's happening, and it's happening by our other children. And we have to actually stand up right now. So they stood up for me. And that, for me, that was like, it had all come full circle. They got that I was being mistreated. They felt the injustice. They stood up and they said, you guys better be there because she's been there for you. Now, I couldn't say that. I mean, I had said that to them. I was like, wait a minute, you guys, hello. I was there for you. Can't you be there for me? But it's not the same as when your parent says it. So it's a longer story, which I won't tell now. They didn't all come, but some of them showed up in other ways. But the most important thing for me was that our parents stood up for me and that they spoke out when they saw something wrong. And that for me was incredibly healing. I had my own healing to do with my siblings that didn't show up for me. But the most important healing was with our parents. And I was so grateful. And they had their own process. And I had to honor that they had a very long journey to take before they could arrive at that place for me. But they did. And then it's kind of like all of the years of strife melted away. And they showed up and they were there for me in every way on my wedding day and in my life thereafter.
What a transformation from that one day in Long Beach where it was a very difficult time, where you came out to them, where they, you know, I think they denied it. I think they said, no, this isn't the real you. We don't think this is right for you, et cetera, et cetera. 100 reasons why not, to them standing up for you to the rest of the family and celebrating at your wedding. I just want to say another interesting thing that you said, to go back to mommy's best friend, Tova, that's no small thing that she did. It was probably just two or three words that she said to mommy. But just the fact that she said, oh, okay, yeah, I know someone like that, and it's going to be okay, as opposed to, oh, I'm so sorry, what a horrible thing. There's so many other things that she could have said, but just those couple words that she said, this is one woman in an Orthodox community coming out to her best friend that her daughter is gay. This is when the parent comes out. How important the response to that is, because that made all the difference to her. That she knew that there was someone in her community that was going to be accepting and took it in stride.
Right.
That's something that I think a lot of people are facing. Like, what will my friends say? What do my friends say? How do I talk about this with my friends? And just being a friend and standing up and saying, you know, hey, that's okay. We're going to be okay. We're not going to abandon you. We're here with you. Just like that, that can enable a parent to become more of an ally.
Yeah, they needed their friends' support.
Right. Exactly.
It's like these concentric circles of support, or like, you know, like a ripple effect. Everybody out there needs support for doing the right thing. You know, it extends. The more people come out, the more people that are needed to surround them.
What advice would you say you have for other people who are seeking support in Orthodox communities? Like someone right now who might be facing coming out to their parents or within their community who doesn't feel like there is an ally there for them.
Well, I think it's very important to know that you have somebody that you can go to who's like your safe person to talk to and to be there for you. You have to know what's at stake and what you might lose. And if it's risky for your health, for your mental or physical health to come out, then I think you should pause and say, if I come out and if my parents reject me or ask me to leave their home, where will I go? So you have to sort of like make sure that your needs are taken care of, and make sure that you have some, you know, a friend or a support system where you can go. You know, at Eshel, we are now running many, many support groups on the phone, over Zoom, in many cities. And so there's a place to go for this, you know, where you can actually have a group of people that understand you and know you. But in your immediate life, it's helpful, like if there's a friend or a sibling. And if you don't know if they'll be supportive, there are ways to sort of test it out by like seeing their reaction to things, you know, and you never know how somebody's going to react, but it's important to try to find that person. There's a lot of like support systems and networks and groups and communities across North America.
So today, you're not isolated. You don't have to be isolated. You can reach out and get support.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that it's hard. I wouldn't say that it's inside of Orthodox communities yet. I would say it's like on the periphery or outside. unfortunately. But mm-hmm. we're working, you know, rabbis to sort of like start the dialogue and have their awareness so that when people do come out in their synagogues, they can be more embracing.
Thank you, Miriam, for talking with me today. Thanks for telling your story of allies and of coming out and what made good things happen for you.
If you have a story of alliance to share, please be in touch with me at allies@eshelonline.org. You can find future podcasts of On Alliance on the Eshel website. This is Sarah Kabakov wishing you well. Stay safe, stay strong, and be ready when it matters to stand up and become an ally.